Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout. No reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are off and running on a Monday afternoon. Back to work we go, baby. Here we go. J.P. Finley was on his game after me and Mad Max did the here we go thing just a moment ago. Saw J.P. Finley out in the hall. He said, go get him, Roost. And I said, here we go. And I said, who am I? And he goes, Dak Prescott. And I should have said, yep, without the money.
Well.
Yep.
We try. You know?
Without the money. Without the $60 million a year that he's going to cash.
Listen, if you can find an executive to swindle just like he swindled Jerry,
yeah.
More power to you.
Yeah. Did you see, by the way, as we speak of Dak Prescott off the show, completely unplanned. Here we go. Dak and the rest of the vagabond Dallas Cowboy quarterbacks and the new head coach, Brian Schottenheimer, were Greek dancing.
Oh, yes.
Yesterday.
Now, tread lightly, because I know a few Greeks that might be getting on you about this.
I know a Greek, too.
Oh, yeah.
Let me just say for the record, there is not enough Greek food in our world, and I could literally eat Greek food like all day long, every day, in every way. And as a matter of fact, I have a big old salad with
nice
feta cheese.
Nice.
And Greek smoked Kalamata olives.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh!
Sounds good.
Oh, baby.
We're kicking off food talk strong into that today.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, if you haven't seen the video, I tweeted about it last night during the boring-ass NBA game.
Listen, I have no arguments today.
I tweeted about it, and it's Dak Prescott, and they're throwing dishes, and they're line dancing, or whatever the hell they're doing. Whatever it was, I'm sure they're going to call it like brotherhood or team bonding or quarterback room bonding or whatever. Whatever that was, I'm okay with Topgolf, man. People made fun of the Commanders for going to Topgolf with their draft class.
But like, Chris, let's take a second here. Let's take a step back and let's examine if Jaden Daniels, Sam Hartman, and Marcus Mariota were all doing like traditional Hawaiian dancing.
Mm-hmm.
What would your tune be?
It's a great question. Great point. I would probably, I would just probably say, they were at a luau, and they were dancing and having a good time. I wouldn't make fun of them.
Yeah,
probably because I know my audience, and I know what I can get away with and what I can't get away with.
Fair.
And I know that even though there are Dallas Cowboy fans listening to this radio program,
one of them sitting across from me at this desk.
What? Wait, who?
He's very locked into his work right now.
Exactly. Even though I know this to be true, I also know that, hey, you know what? I mean, while we can all have fun and while we can all do different things to bring culture into our lives and brotherhood and all that stuff, it was Brian Schottenheimer, Dak Prescott, Joe Milton, Will Greer, Steve Shimko, whoever
Will
that
Greer.
Is.
Man, I forgot he was a Cowboy.
Yeah, West Virginia. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And
brother.
Their families spent time learning traditional Greek dancing. And then Milton dressed in a checkerboard-type outfit, but not checkerboard as in, like, the Volunteers, which is where he went to school. But it was, like, I don't know, blue with black and white and whatever. He did a pretty crazy dance on his own to kind of put his spin on it. And Dak Prescott and somebody else is trying to throw dishes, and then they throw the dishes, and the dishes break, which is like traditional Greek tradition. Wait, traditional Greek tradition? Greek tradition. You got it. We need our resident Greek, Athens and Annapolis.
He's listening. I know he is.
To break this down, to figure out what the hell they were doing. To see if it might work, because they had their arms around each other and they were in a big circle, and you had a woman with a microphone and she's dancing and she's two-stepping, and the boys are all around and the women and whatever. Who the hell knows what they were doing? But it was one of the best things, one of the weirdest things, one of the worst things, all together in one big happy sandwich that I saw all weekend. And it made me laugh a little bit. I did not think I would open up the show with it, but my brain works.
I didn't think so either, but here we are.
My brain works in weird and conspicuous ways. So anyway, thanks to Brandon Is Right. That's WRITE, as in writer. Brandon Is Right for posting that. And I forget who reposted it, but that's how I saw it, because I don't know who Brandon Is Right is. But it's very clearly legitimate video, and we discuss only legitimate things of interest on this show.
Exclusively.
Yes.
We would never waste your time.
We would never make fun of the Dallas Cowboy quarterbacks and question how they're getting ready for the season. Another season of woe.
Without the season hasn't even started yet. We can't say that yet.
Well, I can.
Our season might be woe. I would never wish it to be.
It's not true. That's not true.
It's true.
It's not going to happen.
You're right. It would never.
I mean, take it from Mr. Commander. The Commander in Chief, baby.
Commander Chris Russell?
Yeah. Commander Chris in Chief. Commander in Chief Chris. That's what I'll say.
With his general because, by his side, yeah, Danny Rhea.
Because I'm not technically the Commander in Chief, because it's that the other guy.
Yeah, the military parade dude or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, the other guy. The other guy who we're not allowed to talk about. Anyway, that being said, I'm Commander-in-Chief Chris, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's a football connection and terminology and whatever. And,
yeah.
And we can go with that. And yes, if you ever want to get under Danny Huhe's skin, mm-hmm. just simply refer to him when you see him or call him or tweet him, Commander Danny.
Just say, what's up, Commander Danny? How's
yeah.
it going?
Yeah. I mean, I hear you really, 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 really love that name.
Mm-hmm.
I hear you really.
He's the biggest fan.
Danny loves that name so much, he's considering square dancing with the Cowboys and becoming a Cowboys fan.
Oof.
Mm.
Oh, how the mighty have fallen.
Mm. I hope Danny's listening like he normally is, because I normally hear, if I say something full of bravado and stupidity
mm-hmm.
in the first 15 minutes of the show before he
Which
gets
is
here.
Few and far between.
Right. Never happens. Danny always winds up reminding me about it after my show. He's like,
good.
So, you know, he'll do like maybe an Adam Schefter voice. So sources tell me, I can't even do a good Adam Schefter.
No, that wasn't bad. I liked it.
Sources tell me that you were patting yourself on the back at 108 and 38 seconds.
I'd say that's right, Danny.
And I say, yeah. And then I was probably making fun of somebody or taking a cheap shot at somebody, usually the analytics amigos.
Again, rare.
Oh, we have some fun around here. Listen, this is the little show that could. This is the show that everybody forgot about. The show that everybody left behind. So we're just chug, 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 choo, choo, up the train, up the engine. I mean, up the hill, whatever the hell I'm trying to say. Up the hill, the train, the engine. So we're just trying to make some headspace around here, man. We're just trying to get to the top.
think we're doing all right.
All by our lonesome. All by our lonesome. All right. So anyway, let's get off and running with the context of the show. So I was trying to think this morning, how do we lead off the show when the NBA playoff final game stunk? The Stanley Cup hasn't been played since late Friday night, double overtime especial, and doesn't get played again until tonight. The Nationals lose two in a row and two out of three to Texas.
I got something for you.
The D.C. Defenders win the XFL championship.
The conference championship.
It is the XFL championship. Right.
Well, that's the XFL conference.
Right, but it is the XFL championship, sure. Because it's no longer like what they'll play for next week
with the big X on
Michigan,
it. I saw.
Right, what they'll play for next week is the UFL championship.
Yeah,
this is the XFL conference championship. So it's like the NFC championship game. Right?
Essentially.
It's the XFL championship. They won the damn XFL championship. Got a great running performance, great defense on the road in St. Louis. That's a loud environment against our guy Anthony Beck, so on and so forth. And away they go. Congratulations to the D.C. Defenders. What an amazing story. Their head coach, who we've had in studio a couple of times, mm-hmm. and offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator, old Greg Williams, senior.
Shout out. Tell me about
quit.
Defense.
They all quit. On the eve of the season,
yeah.
like with 5 days to go before the season opener, to take a college job at Middle Tennessee State.
Shout out, Blue Raiders.
And they made it to the conference. I mean, they won the conference championship, and they made it to the league championship game. So kudos to them, baby.
District of champions, man. They keep doing it.
How about that? The Washington Spirit kicked ass yesterday and won 3-1 in front of almost 18,000 people. The Washington Mystics won yesterday.
Wow.
What else am I forgetting?
You're forgetting a big one that I'm shocked you haven't touched on yet. It's not anything local, though. Far from it, in fact.
Parlez-vous français?
Something like this.
Oh, it's over! Carlos Alcaraz reigns in Roland Garros!
How much did you watch yesterday?
I watched bits and pieces. I couldn't watch 5.5 hours. I had too many things going on. You watched all 5.5 hours?
Not all five. So I tapped in around like the second set.
Okay.
And I don't exactly remember the score, but it was thrilling.
Yeah.
Like
I was following it on Twitter or X or whatever when I was out and about.
Sinner, like he had him on the ropes mm-hmm. right there at the end, and Alcaraz, if you
there's
don't know,
like three match points, right?
Or? Yes, it was three championship points that Alcaraz had to fight off. He was down 40-love
right.
with, I think it was 5-4 or something like that in the fourth set.
Right.
And yeah, he battles back all 3 points to send it to deuce, wins the set, keeps it going, and finds a way, man. He gets that next set, takes the other one to a tiebreaker to put it at, to even up the sets at 2-2, then a thrilling, thrilling final set that also goes to a tiebreaker that goes 10 more games.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome.
Yeah,
it was one of the better tennis matchups I've seen since 2013. Why am I blanking? Andy Murray versus Novak Djokovic. Mm. That was my big
introduction.
Yeah, in 2013 when I was a kid, and it was yeah.
You know, it's interesting because I'm what would be described as a casual tennis fan. I don't follow like the smaller tournaments. I mean, obviously the City Open, I'd love to be able to get more into that. It's just, you know, at a kind of a tough time of the year, because it's hot as hell, and humid as hell. And it's usually right around training camp, right?
Mm-hmm.
The first week of camp, or maybe it stretches into the first week of camp. I forget the exact dates, but you know, of course, we should all support any championship event that's locally played in the DMV. But I have become a much bigger tennis fan
mm-hmm.
over the last, I don't know, 5 years.
Sure.
So much so that went to the U.S. Open in Flushing Meadows for the first time in my life, despite growing up on Long Island and despite going to that near that facility I don't know how many times as a kid
mm-hmm.
because it's right. It was right next to
right
the old Chase Stadium and right next to the current Citi Field. So I went to the U.S. Open on the Friday and Saturday of Labor Day weekend last year, and it was just a great experience. And I got to see Novak Djokovic lose on center court. Well, I don't know if they call it. They don't call it center court. They call it Louis Armstrong Stadium. Wait.
The Trumpeter?
Louis Armstrong Stadium is the old stadium that they re-renovated. The main stadium is, I forgot what they call it. Anyway, it's gorgeous. It's a beautiful facility. I got to, see my guy Ben Raby. He was working at the U.S. Open. Just a cool atmosphere. I got like some fruity melon type cocktail that had like a melon tennis ball.
Ooh, okay.
In the tooth. It was just great. Great weekend. With the people I love and all that stuff. Long and the short of it is I've become much more of a tennis fan. And Alcaraz, we know how talented this dude is. This is not a major, major, major shocker that Carlos Alcaraz, the 2 seed, beat Jannik Sinner, the 1 seed.
He's been on the scene for a minute. You know what I forgot about? He's 22.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
I over the weekend, we had a 21-year-old in American Coco Golf.
Yep.
And a 22-year-old and Carlos Alcaraz, not an American, win the French Open.
Sports in good hands,
folks. On
both
the women's and the men's side. But anyway, Alcaraz beating Jannik Sinner, the 2 seed over the 1 seed, is not the story here. It's some of what you mentioned, Mad Max, but it's also they play best of 5 sets. He was down 6-4 and 7-6, 2 sets to none. 2 sets to none. And had to fight through set 3 and then 4 and then 5. And you described 4 and 5 went 7-6, 10-2. Unbelievable. Unbelievable sports, theater, drama, what have you. And the best, coolest part kind of like was at the end when Alcaraz on the final sequence. I guess it was right as he won, if I remember correctly. He just dumps to the ground and, he's laying on his back and then he gets up and he's got his entire backside, top to bottom, covered in red clay, right? And you're like, that is the sign of exhaustion, 1, and 2, a unique playing surface, clay, the red clay at Roland Garros, and 3, a champion. All right. I mean, that one shot, even though it wasn't a shot in a match full of shots, that one shot, the one camera shot I'm talking about, symbolized everything that was great about that tournament, that final, that win, that everything. So congratulations to Carlos Alcaraz for winning the French Open. Now, listen, many of you probably didn't watch it. Sunday mornings are busy time for families and what. And that's what I would love for the French Open, for Wimbledon to do. The Australian Open's a little bit weird because it's in like mid-January. Nobody knows it's actually going on for the most part. But I would love for the French Open and I would love for Wimbledon. And I know the time difference. I got it. I would love for them to figure out a way to get a little bit later in the afternoon so that people can, and I know part of breakfast at Wimbledon, I got it, I understand. For me, I'm just going to tell you, for me, this just for me, but I think I would speak for a lot of people on the East Coast of the United States.
The coastal elite.
I understand you can't build everything for the East Coast. I get it. But it is where a ton of tennis fans reside. Like, again, I grew up in New York. That's John McEnroe and all of that, right? The U.S. Open, so on. And I get not everything should be catered, but I kind of wish that at 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon that match was starting. Now, I don't know how to get around, again, the time change and all that stuff. I got it. I understand breakfast at Wimbledon, but like the U.S. Open finals, mm-hmm. Now, again, that is controllable because they have not a brand new stadium, but they have a beautiful 23,000-seat stadium with lights and whatever, and the retractable roof and all that stuff. So they can play it at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on that Saturday, that Sunday of, I guess, post-Labor Day weekend, usually like week one of the NFL season and week two of the college football season. And some of that is because of TV. But I would love if I could just have it later in the day. Now, a lot of people might be saying, no. I love the fact that it's breakfast at Wimbledon or the French Open, and normally it's on at 9 a.m., and it's over by 12, 12:30, 1 o'clock the latest, and I have the rest of my day. Got it. I understand. Like, for me, I'm just telling you what I like and what I want. And, oh, by the way, doing what we do, the game, you know, the day doesn't just end when breakfast at Wimbledon ends, you know. Then there's usually always a Nats game on a Sunday afternoon. And always, well, last night there was an NBA Finals game. Oh, and in between that, there was a crab feast.
I can't believe they let you in.
That's not very nice, Mad Max. I let myself in. I'll tell you the details.
Shocker.
I'll tell you the details coming up later in the show on the Team.80 and the Odyssey app. But first, we'll get to that NBA Finals-inducing sleep coma next on the Team.80 and the Odyssey app.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout. No reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They only lost two in a row twice in the regular season. They have yet to lose back-to-back games in this playoff run. The NBA Finals are tied at one game apiece.
Ah, the great Mike Breen on the call, ABC last night. Yes, indeed. I was waiting for that Indiana Pacers run. I'm still waiting.
And waiting.
And waiting.
And waiting.
And waiting.
But yeah, the Thunder, they put their foot on the gas, and they went on a run early, and they never really looked back.
Yeah. Well, that's the kind of team that they are.
Yeah.
I mean, ideally, when they're hitting their shots and they're playing their normal defense that they played for three quarters plus the other night in game one, and then just kind of completely sort of forgot down the stretch as Indiana finally woke up. I mean, when they're on, they're going to play defense for 46 minutes out of a 48-minute game. They're going to steal. They're going to turn you over. They're going to pressure you. They're going to suffocate you. And then they're going to hit their shots. And when you play the type of game that you're capable of, and that's what the Oklahoma City are capable of, what, quite honestly, we saw last night, right? That's the kind of game that they are capable of. That's why pretty much everybody picked them to win the series, right? Now, listen. It was only, the final score was only 123-107, right? So you say 16 points. It's not that bad, right? But it could have been a lot worse. I mean, quite honestly, Tyrese Halliburton didn't wake up until at some point in the fourth quarter when the game was already decided. He had 5 points through the first three quarters. One play was kind of symbolic, if you will, of, I thought, kind of the whole game. And really the better part of the first two games. And that was SGA kind of from the backside, right around the elbow area, just swatting away a ball in Tyrese Halliburton's hand. I think he had it on the high dribble, but I would have to go back and double check. And then taking off after he steals it, just swatting it away, right? Clean, no wrist, no hand, no nothing. And then he runs it, obviously in transition off the steal, and he gets hacked, and they called a foul, which was the correct call, but SGA wanted more. But that exchange, that play, that sequence, kind of symbolic of, I think, where we are through two games. Now, listen, again, the Pacers are fortunate. Not, they haven't earned one of these games. They played well for about 8 minutes on Sunday night. They had the lead for 0.3 seconds, right? They have not played well, I don't think, through the first two games of this series. Again, they won one. They stole it. I can't take it back. I guess they deserve it. It is the reality of the situation. But they didn't play well for 39 minutes the other night in game one. And they really didn't play well for any minutes last night, right? I mean, I guess in the third quarter, it was back and forth. And even in that quarter, Oklahoma City outscored them, but it was only by one, and both teams were in the low 30s. I think it was like 33, 32 or something like that, whatever it was.
Halliburton got most of his points in garbage time.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, he had 5 points through the through the first three quarters, and the game was largely decided. It was like a 22-point game with 9 and change left.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, here comes Tyrese Halliburton. So the final line, 7 of 13, 3 of 8 from three, 3 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 5 turnovers. That's a problem. 17 points is not that bad. But he had 5 points through the first three quarters. And now everybody's all over Tyrese Halliburton's ass. I mean, I don't know as much about the NBA as Craig and Kevin, and I'll never pretend they love it a lot more than I do. But, I mean, I've been screaming about Tyrese Halliburton being up, down, like a yo-yo all playoff long. He's not a generational superstar. Hell, he's not a superstar. I don't even know if he's a star. He's a very good player. He's been a clutch assassin. Stars. And this isn't the first time he's had a game where he was like in single digits in the majority or the crux of the game. I know he finished with 17. 10 years from now, nobody will ever remember that he had 5 points through three quarters. I will. In order to be a superstar, in order to be a generational superstar, you have to be more consistent than Tyrese Halliburton. Hell, in order to have everybody frothing at the mouth to call you Hallie, 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 Hallie. Shut up. His name is Tyrese Halliburton. In order to have everybody frothing at the mouth to call him Hallie, to be cool as the other side of the pillow, can you score double digits in the first three quarters, please? And I know that's not the only part of his game. I got it. But that's a big part of his game. And Indiana's offense clearly is better. And they sucked last night. Now, part of that, again, obviously, is the terrific Oklahoma City defense. They had 15 turnovers in, meaning Indiana, in game two. That's nothing compared to the 25 they had in game one, and that's the game they won. You could see when Oklahoma City was serious and putting the screws to them and expanding the lead to 22 with about 9 and change left, and everybody was for the most part playing much better than they did in game one, that even though Indiana was more careful with the basketball that they didn't have a chance. Again, they had 10 less turnovers and they lost by 16. They had 10 more turnovers and they won by one in game one. But Oklahoma City also hit their shots last night. I mean, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had a great game one, missed that late shot that obviously would have iced the game for them. But he was 11 of 21 last night from the field. Only 1 of 4 from three. That's not a super strength of his. 11 of 12 from the free throw line. 5 rebounds, 8 assists, 4 steals. Oh, a block, including the steal that I mentioned. I mean, it was just great, right? 34 points. But the real story last night was not only Oklahoma City not letting their foot off the gas like they did in game one, but the real story ultimately was Chet Holmgren and Jalen Williams coming back to reality. Not reality. Coming back to their norm, I guess. Or their what we've come to expect. 19 points for Jalen Williams, 8 of 9 from the free throw line. Only 5 of 14 from the field. He's got to get improve that because he had a bad game one. And Holmgren was 6 of 11, 6 rebounds, an assist, a block, and only 2 turnovers. And all three of those guys only turned the ball over twice each. So that's 6 turnovers. And, you know, Dort didn't give them anything offensively, but he gives them a lot defensively. And then the bench. Oh, yeah, the bench. I mean, how in the world did the Lakers give up Alex Caruso? Right? Wasn't it like just 2 years ago where Alex Caruso was the talk of the NBA because he was like this find by the Lakers? How did that happen?
Didn't want to pony up $10 million for Alex Caruso. Well,
maybe that's why they suck.
Listen, when you treat a franchise like LA like a small market team, yeah.
There you go.
Things like that'll happen.
Alex Caruso last night, 20 points. Aaron Wiggins, he had Terp, 18 points. I still like Isaiah Hartenstein, but that is a deep bench. You want to talk about Tom Thibodeau not playing through his bench?
Mm-hmm.
Other teams, like in the NCAA tournament, I forget who it was that made it to the Final Four that had such a short bench. Was it Duke that had such a short bench? Oh, no. Well, Maryland had no bench.
Yeah.
No, they didn't make it to the Final Four. They had no bench, right?
Yeah,
that's right.
Crab five, and that was pretty much
I don't think
it.
Duke had a great bench either, but I'd have to double check that. But Maryland did not have a great, and we all knew it would catch up to them. Well, Oklahoma City not only has a pretty darn good starting four, but they have a hellacious bench. And their defense was clicking last night. Their offense still wasn't great, but it was pretty darn good. Shot 48% from the floor, 39% from three. So, it was more than good enough. And this Indiana team, even though Rick Carlisle is their head coach and he came up in his NBA coaching career as a defensive grind-it-out type of guy, they ain't a good defensive team. At times they are. They're not consistently a good enough defensive team, Indiana. So if Oklahoma City is hitting their shots, which they did not in game one, even though they were winning most of the way, they did last night, Indiana's got no chance. Now we'll see. Series goes back to Indianapolis. Maybe they split. We'll figure it out. The better team's going to win this series, and nobody should be shocked if this series is 1 in 5 games. Nobody. Nobody. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. You want to chime in on the NBA Finals as well, a great French Open final and weekend. Don't forget about Coco Gauff winning on Saturday. And the Dallas Cowboys, and what the hell were they up to this weekend? We can take your calls. We're open for business. The light is on. At 301-230-0980, Mad Max is with us for a second show in a row on loan from the Toronto Blue Jays. Once again, AMAC on a 4-day vacation. I think he'll be back tomorrow. Brian's with us as well. He's the resident Cowboy fan. We got to get his thoughts on the Cowboy square dancing. And we got to get your thoughts on all of that and more on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout. No reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ah, this is an all-timer, huh?
It's a good one.
Good way to start the week. Excellent choice, Mad Max. Good to have you with us, everybody. So you just may have heard during the trending alert, Jermaine Pratt and the Bengals. I think he asked for a trade earlier this offseason.
Yeah.
And was a big key cog for them. I think he plays all over in their linebacker unit. He was not just a pure Mike. But I have to do a little bit more research on that. I can't tell you that I studied Jermaine Pratt a lot. I mean, I know the player. I know of his impact. He still had a poop ton of tackles last year.
He was top 10.
Yeah. But I wonder about a potential fit here. Adding to depth, right? Veteran depth. We'll tackle that next hour because I also want to get into Jaire Alexander. Also, Nick Chubb looks like he's in agreement with the Houston Texans. I want to talk about all of that from a big picture standpoint. As the Commanders seem largely just willing to kind of shadow box, willing to kind of just hang around and figure things out, and let guys develop and let guys soak up the offseason. And then we'll see what happens over the month or so that the players, actually it's about 5 weeks, that the players don't have to work. But Adam Peters is going to be working. Dan Quinn's going to be working. Now, they'll all take some time off. But they'll be working, you know, for two of those weeks, maybe three of those weeks, over the time that the players get the 5.5 weeks off. Okay? So, I would very much expect, I just don't know when, they will sign one veteran player, at least, I have to believe. It's just a matter of who. Is it an edge pass rusher? Is it a veteran corner? Jaire Alexander? Is it a veteran linebacker? Jermaine Pratt? Is it somebody else? Another offensive lineman? Another tackle? No, just teasing. But you get the point. We'll talk about it more in the 2 o'clock hour. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Plus, we're also going to get to Roto World over the weekend put out a list of the best general managers in the NFL and ranked them. And apparently, you guys have your feathers ruffled a little bit. We'll explain what we mean by that coming up. But first, we mentioned the Dallas Cowboys doing some Greek square dancing or whatever the hell they were doing. So we thought, hey, we have a resident member of the
community.
Of the Greek community. I was going to say the Greek mob, but I don't know if he wants me to introduce him.
No, we don't
like that.
We keep that under wraps.
Exactly. But we have a resident of the Greek familia, and we knew we'd be able to get the honesty, the candor of what the hell the Dallas Cowboys were doing from our guy, Double A, Athan in Annapolis. Hello, Double A.
Hey guys, listen. It looks like they have a Greek teammate that I guess was at a Greek restaurant or a Greek function somewhere, and you know they start playing that music, and that guy probably had flashbacks to when he was a kid, like I did, where in my case you're forced to Greek dance, and I had to like force my way out of that with my mom. Long story on that, but yeah, I mean it's just every it was you know culture being shared there and bonding, and it looked like, I mean, there's a lot of steps in that song that they were playing, but yeah, I mean, like the Hispanic culture and the Greek culture are very similar with the love for food and having people over and dancing. And I told Linnell the story about when I got laughed off the dance floor 20 years ago by the most beautiful woman in the club I was at when I was attempting the salsa dance. So it looks like the Greek teammate was trying to share his culture with the team and give the Cowboys a little bit of credit there. As much as I don't want to, they indulged in it. I mean, Chris, I would love to see you attempt to do a couple of those three and four steps at a time. I think you might bust your ass, but I would love to see you try.
I don't know if that's something the rest of the world needs to see. I'm not sure. Hey, there was no, look, I know I'm poking fun at it. First of all, let's start with this. They didn't do anything wrong, right? I mean, people dance like fools at weddings, and we just don't see it, right? So this just happened to be at whatever event this is. I don't know how formal this event is because guys are wearing shorts, so that it signifies that it's not like a wedding or a real fancy schmancy thing. So it just appears that there was just a, like you said, maybe an idea to bring the families together on presumably a Sunday to dance a little bit. It's just a little bit strange. It's just Dan Quinn talks about the brotherhood, right? And again, they went top golf, and people criticized them for that with their draft class in Jaden's. And then they went back this year. And Dan Quinn talks about the brotherhood. But we didn't see anything, we didn't see anything weird is what I would describe it as, right? So this was a little bit like, oh, okay. All right. So this is what the Cowboys are counting on to bounce back and be good. So you don't think you're fine with this. You give them credit. You have no problem with Joe Milton getting dishes thrown at him and doing whatever it was that he was doing in the one video. I had no problem, right?
Yeah, they were sharing the culture. I really think they were probably out to dinner somewhere, and they just, you know, the music hit and something started, and you know, that's what it is, showing, yeah, sharing experiences. But what I will say is my dad, when I sent him the video, he responded with, and it reminded me of what you did with Kyle Schwarber a few weeks ago when you made me some money, when you were hammering Schwarber on, you know, about the Nationals couldn't get wrecked by him. And of course, I bet it that night and it happened. My dad is giving everyone, as much as I hate to admit it, who is going to be the NFL coach of the year. And he is saying that the Cowboys will bounce back, and
whoa,
it will be Brian Schottenheimer.
Whoa.
So bet it.
Oh,
bet it,
man.
Bet it.
All right.
Just like you were hammering James Woods, and I didn't bet it because I thought C.J. Abrams was due, and Woods would have completed like a $600 win for me when I sent it to you like a week ago. I'm telling you, these little things get said by people, and you got to pick up on it. So I'm telling you, it's coming.
But how about the Greek God not only not trashing the Cowboys, but giving us Papa Greek God giving us a little insight, huh?
Yeah.
I'm gonna go to the window.
Hey, listen, go to the window, put more than $5 on it, maybe $6 or $7, parlay it into a couple thousand, and take the significant other on a vacation, and she might even have you Greek dancing on a cruise or something. You never know. You just get that vibe, you get feel that soul in you, and it'll just –
Hey, man, give me some feta cheese. You want to see a vibe? Give me some feta cheese, baby. And a little pita action and some hummus, and we're good to go. And a little souvlaki and yeddo meat, right? That's my vibe.
That's right. Hey, listen, hit up your Greek festivals. They're having them all over Virginia.
I know.
There's one up in Baltimore this weekend. Hit up your Greek festivals. Mine in Annapolis was not this past weekend, but the weekend before. You know, they were out there Greek dancing and representing and everything.
I got to find a good one. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you, as always. That is interesting. How about that? So, see, Brian, your Cowboys are not doing anything wrong. I mean, the automatic ticket for them to win the NFC East. I mean, just crown their asses now.
He said coach of the year, not NFC East.
That was the feeling that I got from Double A, that he's picking the Cowboys.
Listen, you can win coach of the year and not win your division. Dancing. Vikings did it this year.
Yeah, you can win coach of the year, but the vibe that I get is he's turning his back on the Commanders because he hates the name.
No, I'd never say
and he's picking the Cowboys.
That. I would never put that on him.
Mm. Might have to go bet the Cowboys to win the NFC East.
Not me.
Not tell anybody about it.
That's up to you.
Except I just did. 301-230-0980 on the Team.80 and the Odyssey app. Stay with us. All right, we're going to round up hour number one like this. I'm going to give you guys something that I almost never say.
Uh-oh.
And then I'm going to give you something that I pretty much say a whole lot, and much to the chagrin of many. Which one you want first?
First one.
I was hoping you would choose it like that. Remember on Friday when we were discussing game one of the NBA Finals and then game two, and the look-ahead line was like 11, 11 and a half or whatever it was?
Mm-hmm.
And Mad Max, you took a little umbrage with that. I thought, while I was surprised that the line was higher from game one to game two, I thought it was pretty much a shoo-in that the Oklahoma City Thunder would bounce back, and I thought they would win pretty convincingly.
Just look at you.
It looks like the boys in Vegas finally got one right.
Wow.
Look about that?
This growth from
the
you.
The experts. The guys that know all. They see through their crystal ball. They got one right.
Yeah.
And with room to spare, because the final score was 16 points and it should have been more.
Analytics amigos seem to be doing all right.
And the second thing I'm going to tell you, which I tell you way too much to my chagrin, is, damn it, I was right! Oklahoma City minus the 11.5.
Easy.
Ding!
Easy.
Listen to Mr. Hoops. Chrissy Hoops over here.
That's right.
Listen to me. This is why you need this radio show in your life.
The number one basketball mind on the Team 980.
You all think I'm negative. You all think I'm this mean monster.
A curmudgeon.
In reality, I'm the smartest guy alive. Just in reality, just consider that.
He's playing you all for fools.
On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout. No reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.